You're listening to Podcaster Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. Podcaster Practice brings you expert-led independent medical education discussions, inspiring healthcare professionals to maximize their learning and make measurable changes in their own clinical practice. This podcast is part of an independent medical education program entitled Improving PBC Outcomes by Prioritizing Patients' Needs and is supported by an independent educational grant from Ipsen.
I'd like to welcome everybody to this video, which is looking at symptoms, their impact on quality of life and patient journey in primary biliary cholangitis. My name is David Jones from Newcastle, and I've been managing people with PBC for many years now. And joining me today is Mo Christie, who is herself a PBC patient, but is also head of patient services in the PBC Foundation. So she has experienced these issues herself, but has also spoken to and helped many people with these problems. So welcome, Mo.
Thank you.
Mo, would you just start off perhaps by talking a little bit about your journey with regard to PBC and in particular the symptoms that you've experienced?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with PBC in 2007, and that was just a year after my daughter was born. And for me, initially, the symptoms were fatigue and joint pain. But as a new mum, I just thought that was something that was coming along as part of that. So it was really the joint pain that took me along to my GP. And at that point, I started taking some ibuprofen for the joint pain. But quite quickly after that, I developed itch. And I thought maybe I was allergic to ibuprofen or something wasn't right. So I'd gone back to my GP and they did blood tests at that point, and that's where it was found that my liver biochemistry was very high at that point. And for me, itch and fatigue were the two main things that were really bad for me. The itch got so bad that in 2012 I was assessed for transplant, and in 2013 I had a transplant due to itch.
And so a very dramatic story. And so in terms of your experience of PBC, to what extent was it a symptoms problem, or to what extent was it a risk through progression of the disease problem, or a little mixture of both?
Very much symptom focused for me. Very much a quality of life issue in terms of how I was with the itch being so bad. We tried lots of different treatments. We tried most of them many times to see if we could just get something right. And although plasmapheresis was the thing that took the edge off the itch for a bit, it wasn't sustainable in terms of how often I had to go back for treatment. So at that point, the referral for transplant was made.
And just, I think, something that I think people would find very interesting is, to what extent do you think people took this problem seriously? So something I'm very aware of is clinicians who perhaps think about blood tests as being the key issue in the disease and perhaps neglect symptoms. Did you feel that there was a battle to get people to take this seriously?
Initially, I felt that, yes. I also didn't respond to Urso, so my numbers weren't coming down either, but really it was the itch that was the most difficult thing to manage. Having fatigue as well, but that was compounded by the itch because I wasn't sleeping either. And really my quality of life became so bad. It was only once I was referred on to a specialist team that I really felt it was properly taken seriously at that point. And what I really liked was that a plan was put in place around what I could try next, what I could potentially try after that if that didn't work. I'm quite a planner, so I quite like that. And I always knew really from the offset about when I was discussing it about the itch that transplant was potentially an option, but much further down the line. But we went through each stage of treatment, and I found that helped me feel more in control. So I did really like that. But I did feel it took a while before it was taken seriously as to how much of an impact it was having.
And of course, it's important to say that we take the management of itch very seriously in specialist clinics, and there are a lot of treatments for it. So only very small numbers of people need transplant, but where that's the right thing to do, that's the right thing to do. So please, people, don't worry that this is about transplantation always. It isn't. Something that I've often heard from people is the frustration they feel at having to tell the story to every single person they meet, and that next time they come to the clinic, it's somebody different, and so they have to start for the whole story from the very beginning. And there's almost a sense that they're having to keep justifying themselves. Was that something that you came across?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's, I mean, we know that it's not, you're not always going to see the same doctor when you go back. That's understandable. But it does feel that, because overall, even when I was at my absolute worst, I looked quite well. So it's really quite difficult to get over just how bad it is, you know. And it was only really, I did build up a really good relationship with one specific doctor who I did see quite regularly, and she was really able to see the difference in me over the months and years that she saw me, and also how I looked post-transplant and the difference that made. So I think there is definitely something there, isn't it, in building up that relationship with someone who fully understands you and your condition.
I think so. And do you think there were any missed opportunities? Knowing what you know now about all of this, do you think there were opportunities where people could have treated it better? Did we miss those opportunities at all, do you think?
I think when I was first diagnosed, ERSO was the only treatment at that point. So there wasn't a missed opportunity for second line because that wasn't available at that stage. But I do think it took a while for the itch to be taken seriously. And that was the part that was the most difficult for me. And then the knock on that had to the fatigue that I was managing as well. And I do think that I did feel that we went round in circles quite a bit before the referral happened. And then once the referral happened to the specialist unit, that was very different after that. It was very focused on a treatment plan and what we would do after that.
And did you feel you had to kind of battle to get through to a specialist centre to have this management?
Yeah, I did feel that. And I think it's a bit like what you mentioned earlier. I did feel like every time I went back to see my GP or at my local hospital, I had to try and make them understand how difficult this was for me, living day to day and the impact that it was having on my life. My daughter was very young at the time. She had only been one when I was diagnosed. And I really did feel like her childhood was passing me by. I wasn't able to go out and enjoy times with the family. I was just being sent pictures at home and they were out and I was at home resting, you know, so it was, I do feel that there was a part of my life and a part of my daughter's life that I really did miss out on.
Mo, one of the things that people sometimes struggle with is the difference between the types of itch that we can all get day to day, perhaps a bit of skin irritation or an allergy, and the type of itch that people with PBC can get. And the word covers lots of different types of problem, doesn't it? And I think sometimes one word that covers a real range can lead to some forms of it not perhaps being understood for the impact that they have. And I thought, would it be possible for you to share just some observations from your own experience and from people that you speak to through the PBC Foundation about just what this symptom means to people and what it feels like? Because I think people would find that very informative.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The word itch doesn't really cover it in terms of the impact that has. I have some quotes here from patients that we've had in the past, and I'll just read them through. Want to tear my skin off and no one has offered me medication to help. It's like bugs crawling under my skin. I will scratch until I bleed and bruise. I feel desperate and depressed about the itching. Burning like wildfire spreading through my body. I have sores all over my body with scratching so much it drives me insane. There's no relief. I've considered just walking out to the ocean. Suffering horribly and barely functioning with almost no sleep. And the last one is my own quote that I had put in. It's relentless and having a detrimental effect on my mental health. I don't know how much longer I could take it. And that really was the point I was at. It was having such an effect on me, both physically and mentally. And my itch went after transplant. I've been 10 years post-transplant now. And not just the transplant, but not having the itch has absolutely changed my life.
And your daughter's life as well, because you did relate all of this to missed childhood. And I think that's something that's so important. This is not just skin irritation. This is an all-encompassing, all-enveloping problem. And I think something you said does resonate with what I hear all of the time in a symptoms clinic, is that this itch is so bad it's painful. And I think it sometimes goes beyond just a skin sensation to something more enveloping than that. And I think it's really important, and I know the work you do with the PBC Foundation and the work the PBC Foundation does. And I think it's really important to say that you are always there for patients who are suffering in this way. And there are treatments, there are things that we can do. And but most of all, sharing those experiences is very important. I'm sure you would echo that the
Yes.
PBC Foundation understand this and understand the problems.
Yes, absolutely. We're here for support, helping people to prepare for medical appointments, giving some tips about what to prepare in advance for that. So we're always here.
So, Mo, thank you so much. It's never easy to talk about these things and the way they impact on people's lives, but the work that you do is fantastic. And I think your shared experiences will really help people understand this problem so that we can all do it better in the future. So, thank you very much.
Thank you for asking me to take part. It's really appreciated.
Thank you for listening to Podcast to Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. For more information on our educational programs available, visit ime.springerhealthcare.com.